Penguin Random House Audio presents How Do I Unremember This? Unfortunately True Stories. This is the author, Danny Pellegrino. Everyone has a story. Kathy Lee Gifford. Introduction. Hello! Oh, wait a minute, that sounded way too much like Mrs. Doubtfire. Let me take that back. Hi. Thank you so much for giving How Do I Unremember This a listen. Recently, I had some old family movies transferred to digital copies. When I showed them to my parents, my mother asked me 5 times if I had someone CGI the couches in the videos featuring our first house because she doesn't remember owning them. Transferring vintage VHS tapes to a digital file is already expensive enough, so I'm not sure why she thinks I have the budget to hire Lucasfilm to update the sofas we owned in 1996, but the point is that everyone remembers the past a little bit differently. In this audiobook, I'll tell you some of the stories that shape me the way I recall them, and hopefully you'll find a laugh or two. I purposely changed some of the names, locations, and other details so no one gets too mad at me, because as a certified Libra, people being mad at me is at the top of the list of things I hate the most. Alongside rats, unprovoked caricature artists, and that claymation holiday special where Rudolph's nose sounds like a combination of a Furby with weak batteries and Fran Drescher stubbing her toe. I've kept journals off and on throughout my life, so I've written about a lot of these things before, but just for my own eyes. I still have most of them, but there was one time I left one of my notebooks on a Chicago train. So somewhere, a Midwest vagabond is reading about the lingering trauma of the accidental erection I got in the 5th grade when my teacher let us watch Ed, the Matt LeBlanc movie where he plays baseball with a monkey. The first time I wrote in a diary was when I was a preteen, but I got consistent around 21. That's when my mental health struggles ramped up, I started inching out of the closet, and I began chasing my Hollywood dreams of becoming a writer-performer. I look back on that first adult journal and recognize now that it was truly an unhinged piece of work. On one page, you can see tear-soaked ink and a detailed essay about coming out to my parents. And the next page is filled with movie ideas, half-jokes, and comedy routines that I was trying to work out as a young comedian. Many of those bits don't make any sense, just disparate nouns posing as ideas. I pulled out that diary to prep for this book, and there's an entire page that just says Foghorn Leghorn is a less dramatic Tennessee Williams. And another where I simply wrote, Nikki Blonsky as Catwoman. I wasn't even on drugs, I do declare, but I had just seen Hairspray. I have always been a mix of silliness and drama, with pop culture holding me together, and that love of entertainment runs deep. I've never had a second glass of wine that didn't end with me on Allison Janney's IMDb page. My mother is a similar blend, although not as deep of a movie TV lover, but she did teach me all about the divas, the queens, icons, and legends of music. Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Cher, Toni Braxton, and Gloria Estefan were all in heavy rotation throughout my childhood. Mama also has the best sense of humor and an infectious laugh that is my favorite thing of all time. There is nothing better than when she has the church giggles, laughing at all the ridiculousness around her. Otherwise, she's all heart with some drama mixed in. I like to think I'm more emotionally stable than she is, but that time I listened to Shania Twain's It Only Hurts When I'm Breathing on repeat 6 months after a breakup would beg to differ. My dad is a different concoction. He's a hard shell with a soft center, a short temper that often masks his other sides. He, too, has a great sense of humor, but he prefers laughing at pratfalls and fart jokes rather than observing the absurdity around him. There's a scene in Dumb and Dumber where the Jeff Daniels character is taking a very foul bathroom break on a date, and my dad still watches it with an uncontrollable, guttural chuckle and tears in his eyes, regardless of how many times he's seen it. Fart jokes may be the lowest common denominator of comedy, but maybe we should all accept the laughs wherever we can get them. All that's to say, welcome! Throughout this audiobook, you'll get to know my parents and some of the other people closest to me, like my brothers, friends, and grandma, who have shaped me along the way. I hope you'll get to know me better, too, but most importantly, I hope some of these stories will remind you of your own life and some of the funny memories you've made along the way. A few years back, I started a podcast called Everything Iconic with Danny Pellegrino, where I recap reality TV and pop culture and interview celebrities about their work. Early on, I started sprinkling in these life stories. I'd be talking about The Real Housewives, and then I'd say, let's take a little detour, as I segued into a tale about my childhood. Pretty soon, those anecdotes became the things most people asked me about on social media or when I'd see them out and about. I started to contemplate that word, detour, and everything it entails. The idea of thinking we're on one path and then suddenly being forced to take another is such a heavy, relatable concept. No matter how old you are or what your profession is, I think we all have moments in our lives when we look around and realize things look different than what we had planned. There's an old Leanne Womack song called I Hope You Dance, which is mid-tempo and not quite a romantic ballad suitable for slow dancing, but also not really a party anthem that you would hear at a club. It's almost impossible to dance to, yet I believe the message of the song is you should try to do it anyway. Attempt the impossible. Those new roads might not be easy or kind, but they're part of the life ride. So, without further ado, it's time to embrace the silly and the sad and take a few detours. And always remember, I hope you dance. Emotionally streaking. I want what every man wants. Breakfast. Coyote Ugly 2000. There's an art to the adult slumber party, and no, I'm not talking about the sexual kind, although those also require a unique set of talents. I'm referring to having some friends over for a night of being basic, frozen margaritas, coyote ugly, inhaling every last crumb of a charcuterie plate, and gossiping until the sun comes up. The gossip part is where my skills really shine. I've been doing that ever since I was a closeted kid in Ohio, embracing the metaphorical tea with whoever was willing to spill it at my local pajama party. It wasn't always easy to find other kids my age who wanted to chat about living, laughing, and loving in the 90s, but fortunately, there were moms for that, and there's no one better than a mom. When I was 10 and under, slumber parties meant a movie, some pizza, me wrapped in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sleeping bag by 9 p.m., and then waking up early to talk to my friend's mother before any of the other kids got up. Breakfast with the woman of the household was my favorite part of the experience. This all usually happened at my best friend Bobby's house, an only child who always had the best snacks. His mom, Deborah, would sit me down in the nook and vent to me about her husband, Rick, and I loved the adultness of it. She didn't look at me like I was a kid. She treated me like the therapist she should have paid good money for. By the time we sat together, Deb often looked defeated, like she needed 5 more minutes of sleep and 2 fewer Valiums to properly get ready for her day, but I was able to perk her up just by listening. I always assumed AMs were most difficult for her since she was coming from spending hours alone in bed with her nightmare husband. Deb would pour me a glass of OJ and tell me about Rick working late and not caring about her thriving herb garden, while I would wonder how anyone could not be enamored by this amazing woman. She would make her coffee strong like an ox as I sat beside her with my frosted strawberry Pop-Tart, ready to listen to her marital problems. I didn't have all the answers, but I would remind her that she was strong like an ox, just like her coffee. And then, like clockwork, I would spot a lone tear cascading down her cheek before Rick interrupted our chat with some outdated demand like that she needs to make him breakfast. Make your own fucking breakfast, Rick, I wanted to say. If I could turn back time, I would take a wrecking ball to the patriarchy of that household, but alas, there is no time-traveling DeLorean for me to hop into yet. As adolescence hit, the sleepovers started to get weirder and weirder. The tween years are a strange time for kids, with everyone growing up at different rates and having various degrees of body odor, hair, and hormones. When I was 12, I still wanted to do the little kid things, like play with Mighty Morphin Power Ranger action figures, while the other kids wanted to call up girls from our class and playfully flirt. Why would I want to talk to girls when there were grown moms who were so wise nearby? It was 6th grade, and I was not a boy, not yet a man. Not everyone is on the same body-changing schedule in the 6th grade, but I remember a thin, dark mustache sprouted within a week that fall, and my voice would fluctuate between Kristen Chenoweth on Helium and Bea Arthur with a cold.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?